Well, good morning. How are we doing this morning? What? Okay, I just wanted to make sure. So this morning, interestingly enough, Pastor John brought some prayer requests this morning. And today I want to finish our series, The Voices in My Head. Now, probably, and none of you probably will say this to me because you don't want to hurt my feelings, but probably when I started this series, I got like, what is going on with him, you know? Evidently, he's got some voices in his head. So, but think of it this way this morning. I want to bring it around. Pastor John brought some prayer requests of people who are really up against some things. When we get tried, when trials come into our lives, they always carry the voices that no one else hears. But when we're going through them, we're hearing them. So if you have a Patricia Fordham who's just been diagnosed with breast cancer, you know what's going through her mind. Oh, my God. How am I going to do this? How am I going to get through this? How far is this going to go? Where is this going to take me? Or Danielle Neff, a young lady, probably around the same age as my daughter, diagnosed with MS. What voices is she hearing? What's this going to do to my life? I thought I've had my whole life is ahead of me. I'm young. Where is this going to take me and what I'm going to do? And quite often, difficulties enter into our lives, and we all deal with them, but some of them come and take the form of giants. Some days we might feel like they're just waiting outside our door, just hanging out. We think life is going smoothly, and all of a sudden, we step out and we get hit with something. Or sometimes we feel like we're being pursued by them, you know? Like they're after us. Sometimes it gets so bad we feel like we're being chased by them, right? Being chased and harassed and bullied, you know? Because we know the capability of the giants. They, you know, we just, it's pretty messed up, right? Getting flattened out. We're going a little too fast, okay? Go back one. But, you know, I mean, it's just, whether this happens or not, this is what we imagine. This is what we hear going on. But today I want to talk to you about conquering those giants. And some of them, most of them, are giant problems. Now we can go. Thank you. All right? Because a lot of times our problems start off small. I'm not feeling that hot, you know? Like Margaret walked into Brookhaven Hospital because she had a pain in her chest. And good thing she did, right? It can start off as small as a pain, but grow into something much more. And this morning I want to deal with you with the much more. And I want to speak to you from, all the verses I talk to you today are going to be from 1 Samuel chapter 17. I am not going to read the whole story to you because, you know, we'd be here far too long. And that's not what it's about. But we're going to cover Israel's story, and consequently, that's going to bring in David's story. And you probably already know where I'm going with this, right? Because Israel is up against it. They've come to a point, once again, with their old enemies, the Philistines. But today, in the story, the Philistines have an unfair advantage. They've brought a giant, a big guy. And everything about this guy was big. His hands, his feet, his torso. We're told that he was 6 cubits tall. Now, you're sitting there going, what the heck is a cubit? Right? But when you do the math and you do the breakdown, it equals up to about 8.5 to 9 feet tall. Imagine that this is what this giant is like, 8.5 to 9 feet tall. And again, everything about him is big. His head, his ego, and his mouth. Because what you have is Israel on one mountainside and the Philistines on the other and a valley in between. And every day, like a broken record, for 40 days, this guy got out and he taunted them and belittled them and demeaned them and called them out saying, hey, listen, Come on out. Let's just make this quick. Basically, he's going to say, you send out your best man, and I'll fight him. And listen, if you win, we become your slaves and your servants. But if we win, you become our slaves and our servants. You know, easy for him to say because, you know, he sees he's this towering figure. And he knows that he's intimidating. So it's very easy for him to make that claim, right? So they are basically on the other side cowering, thinking, how are we going to do this? Even the king, Saul, is like, who's going to fight this guy? For 40 days it lingers and lingers and lingers until David shows up, the little shepherd boy, right? Not very intimidating, young, the smallest in his family, the youngest in his family, and he shows up. But what's that going to do? In fact, when he got there, he started conversing with the other guys there, these soldiers, and they started telling him, you know, the king is offering riches and his daughter, and he started saying, you know, who is this guy that we're going up against? You know, he's just a Philistine. You know, he's just a Gentile. And word got around, and what he was saying got back to the ears of the king. And so he brought David in, and he looked at David, and this is what he says to David in verse 11, 1 Samuel 17. When Saul and his troops had heard the Philistines' challenge, they were terrified, and they lost hope. They were terrified, right? But then, in that mist, when he hears David's words, in verse 33, he says, David, you can't go and fight this Philistine. You're too young, inexperienced, and he's been at this fighting business before you were born. And in Saul's mind, in Saul's eyes, all these things were true. But they're half-truths. They're not the full truth. See? In Saul's eyes and other people's eyes, David was a nobody. What was he going to do? But yet God had a purpose for bringing him there. And I want to share with you this morning this. David is ready for the fight. And I want to tell you why he's ready for the fight. And you may want to write these things down. Based on his experiences in life, what he experienced up to that time, his identity, experience, identity, his identity, knowing who he was, and belonging. He knew who he belonged to. Experience, knowing his identity, and who he belonged to. Made a huge difference. Listen to what David says in verses 34 to 37 to the king. But David said, I've been a shepherd, tending sheep for my father. Whenever a lion or a bear came, I took a lamb from the flock, I'd go after it, knock it down, and rescue the lamb. If it turned on me, I grabbed it by the throat, wrung its neck, and I killed it. Lion or bear, it made no difference. I killed it. And I'll do the same to this Philistine pig who is taunting the troops of God alive. God who delivered me from the teeth of the lion and the claws of the bear will deliver me from the Philistine, Saul said. And David said to Saul, and Saul said, go. And God help you. Now, by the way, you might think that Saul was saying, well, okay, but go. But God, may God help you. But I'm telling you, I think that when David said those words, I think a spark of life came into the king's heart. Someone who would stand up, didn't have it all figured out, but David knew who had brought him there and who arranged this very moment. David knew his own identity. In the natural, that just that he was a shepherd boy who belonged to this father, Jesse, and a family, but he also knew who he was before God. And it was based on his experience when God took him through. In the past, when he had problems, whether it was a lion or a bear, God gave him the grace and the power to deal with those animals, to take them down. And when David looked at Goliath, he just saw the same thing. What is the difference between the lion, the bear, and this Philistine? And so he was ready for a fight. He knew who he belonged to. He knew who he was experiencing throughout his life at different times and occasions, which is huge. It's huge for you and I. If you've had an experience where God has delivered you from something, then you have something to build on. If God has taken you through some hard times, then even when other hard times come along, he will take you through those too. We don't often think that way because quite often we lose track of those experiences. And then we think the next thing that comes along also is bigger than the last thing we dealt with. And a lot of times it may be because it's fresh and it's new. And we think, how am I going to deal with this? But we need to call back to those times where we have had the experience with God, where God delivered us, where God worked in our lives, where he empowered us through a situation. That's part of our identity. Now, I want to say to you, if you're sitting here today and you've never had one of those experiences, maybe it's time you do. And maybe this is the time, you know? Something comes into our lives and we go, oh my God, where did this come from? Why is this happening to me? It could be at that very moment God is saying, I'm giving you this experience because I want to show you what I can do in you, what I can do through you. But if I don't allow you to have this experience, you're not going to learn that. You're not going to learn that lesson. And so quite often what we are dealt with, quite often we deal with the voices that come with that giant that shows up in our lives because it's just not a figure. Like I said, Goliath had a big mouth, and for 40 days he plagued them and taunted them like a broken, you thought I was going to say record, CD. See, I'm up with the times. Although vinyls, from what I understand, vinyl's making a comeback, all right? Like a broken CD or record, he just every day, relentlessly. But then there was truth. And that's what David brought to the table. He brought the truth of what God was able to do in his life, and he was just going to apply it right there, right then. Now, I want to share this with you. That identity, with it, carries truth. If we have our identity with God, then we understand that it brings truth to bear. God just doesn't say, you're my child, and then he leaves us out hanging out somewhere. Every truth in the Bible is there for our purposes. Okay? And wherever we go, that truth can be brought to bear. And upon that truth comes power. God's word is not powerless. God's word is powerful. And so therefore, what God's word does bring for us is victories, and we can build one upon the other. Now, I want to take a moment, and I want to digress, and I want to share a video with you. Now, just to give you some background, because I need to set this up for you. The video is from a series called Turn, Washington Spies. Okay? If you ever want to watch, it's on Netflix. I will just say this. If you're looking for 100% historical accuracy, there's accuracy there, but there's a lot of creative expression based on what was going on behind the scenes. My fact finder, Matthew Ostrander, is always quick to say, well, you know, that wasn't 100% accurate. I'm like, Matt, can you just relax and enjoy some entertainment, all right? Just allow yourself to be entertained for a chance and glean from it, okay? But in any case, what we have in this video is a time where Washington is encamped with his men. And I want to tell you that this guy is going through it. Like you and I, he was hearing voices, okay? He's getting discouraged. He's losing heart. And the video, when we enter the video, he takes a walk out away from his tent in the woods, and he's given a vision, in a sense. Now, no, Matt, his brother did not show up at the camp, but in it, you see the producer uses this image of his brother, and his brother represents this person who is going to carry, look at it this way, he's going to be bearing the voices that Washington was hearing in his head, and at the same time, he was going to bring truth to the table for Washington. And the background was that Lawrence, his brother, was dead. He passed away from tuberculosis, I believe in the Bahamas. It was his older brother. They were two brothers from the same father but different mothers. And their father passed away, and when he did, George, being younger, really leaned into Lawrence. And so you could see that this is going to happen as he starts to talk about, talk with his brother, or this image of his brother. But again, voices and truth. Let's roll it, Matt.
This war? Was it a mistake? Was it greed? Is that what you're trying to tell me? Answer me. Damn you! I have done everything you ever taught me. Tame my temper. Became a gentleman. I sought opportunity. I've climbed and clawed and fought. And now I'm respected, feared, hated, and worshipped. But for what? I'm not who they think I am. But for the love of God, say something. Please.
As always, you ask what I would do, and I will tell you what I would not.
I would never spare a murderer. Nor lose Long Island, nor retreat at White Plains, nor be outflanked at Brandywine.
Nor cross the Delaware on Christmas night to claim a surprise victory, nor lead a campaign against the mightiest empire on earth. But then again, I am not you.
What we have is some truths in there up against some fears, some apprehensions. Washington had lost Long Island. He got outflanked. He suffered. People were talking about him. He was losing his confidence. He even said, I'm not the person people think I am. A lot of times we come up against such times in our lives. But there was more to the story. The truth that something was happening. Truth was that he had scored a big victory on Christmas Eve night. By the way, for the records, my wife and I have had a theological dispute over that. How could he do that on Christmas Eve? It's Christmas Eve. I try to explain to you, it's war, right? We're in a battle. But the bottom line was, it was in the end, it was truth that won out. Truth that overrode the half-truths, the weaknesses. And we all have them. The half-truths and the weaknesses, The times we've lost a battle or two, not always done the right thing, not the right decisions, but desiring to head in the right decision, right direction. And David was surrounded with this, these half-truths. And he found it when he went up, right up against, and he came out face-to-face with his giant, with the nation's giant. In verses 43 to 44, listen to the dialogue. The Philistine ridiculed David. "Am I a dog that you come after me with a stick?" And he cursed him by his gods. "Come on," said the Philistine. "I'll make roadkill of you for the buzzards. I'll turn you into a tasty morsel for the field mice." The voice in his ears. But listen to what David replies in verses 45 and 47. Comes back to Goliath with some truth. David answers, "You come at me with sword and spear and battle axe. I come at you in the name of God of the angel armies, the God of Israel's troops, whom you curse and mock. This very day, God is handing you over to me. I'm about to kill you, cut off your head, and serve your body and the bodies of your Philistine buddies to the crows and the coyotes. The whole earth will know that there is an extraordinary God in Israel." I want you to hold on to that term, extraordinary God, because that's the God in whom we know, love, and serve. That there is an extraordinary God in Israel, and everyone gathered here will learn that God doesn't save by means of sword or spear. The battle belongs to God. He's handing you to us on a platter. Do you hear the boldness in David? Yeah? Do you hear, this is someone who has a grasp on his relationship with God, which brings power. That truth, that relationship brings power. And he just didn't pull it out of a hat, you know? This is power, this is truth that's based on past performance, right? You and I, when we go to, we consider maybe buying a car, we do the research. How does this car perform? How long do the brakes last? What's with the exhaust system? And on and on and on. We do the research, and it's based on past performance that we make our decisions. Well, I'm telling you, David could look back over the history of God's people, and based on past performance, he could bring the boldness that God had to offer based on truth and experience. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 9 for a moment with me. This is a time where God's people are now changing from the wilderness. They're going to cross over to Jordan, and they're going to go into the promised land. And listen to what they're told. "This very day you are crossing the Jordan to enter the land and dispossess nations that are much bigger and stronger than you are. You're going to find huge cities with sky-high fortresses, walls, and gigantic people, descendants of the Anakites." You've heard all about them. You've heard the saying, "No one can stand up against an Anakite." "Today, know this. God, your God, is crossing the river ahead of you. He is a consuming fire. He will destroy the nations. He will put them under your power. And you will dispossess them and very quickly wipe them out, just as God promised you would." These were big people that they were going to go up against. So I did a little Google search and found what I believe might be a picture of an Anakite. Now, here's a United States Marine or Army personnel, and he's standing next to this guy. Now, I'm skeptical. This could be a photo clip, photo cut, paste kind of thing, but I think it's pretty accurate. I mean, imagine this is the people that you're going up against, and God is saying, "I got your back. You are going to take care of these people. I promise you that you are going to win a victory here." David could draw back on the past experiences of what God has done for Israel. And I want to say to you today, even if you're sitting here with no experience under your belt where God has done something wonderful for you, you have the Word of God, which does not lie. And if God could do this for Israel, And if God could do that for Joshua, and if God could do it for David, then God can do things for us, regardless of what your giants might be, regardless of what they might be, because we all have them. We may not go around openly talking about them, but whether it's illness or financial struggle or problems on the job or with family that have started small and have grown to be these monsters in our lives, God is able to work in our lives to give us the courage to deal, to stand up, to battle. Because in the reality of things, He's the one that's doing the battling. It's not you and I. God is doing it. God does these things, and God continues to do these things. This is His message to us, to take heart. Regardless of what the voices in your head are clamoring about and discouraging you about and trying to tear you down and make you feel like you can't go on or you can't deal, God is saying completely, completely the opposite. Look at Isaiah with me for a moment. Listen to what God says. But now, God's message, the God who made you in the first place, Jacob, the one who got you started, Israel, don't be afraid. I've redeemed you. I've called your name. You're mine. You're mine. You're His. When you're in over your head, I'll be there with you. When you're in rough waters, you will not go down. When you're between a rock and a hard place, it won't be a dead end. Because I am God, your personal God, the Holy of Israel, your Savior. I paid a huge price for you. All of Egypt, with rich Cush and Seba thrown in. That's how much you mean to me. That's how much I love you. I'd sell off the whole world to get you back. Trade the creation just for you. God would do all this because He loves us. He'd do this. And I want to tell you, if you're sitting here today and you have kind of wandered for a time in your faith, kind of lost sight, He's saying, I want you back. I want you. And whatever you're facing, whatever's going on in your life, whatever giants are taunting you and belittling you and talking down to you and making you feel small, because that's what giants do, you're mine. And I will never let go of you. I have always been there for my people, says the Lord. And I will be there for you. I will be there for you. That's how much God loves us. And so today as we leave this place, I don't know what you're dealing with. And you certainly don't have to tell me, or any of the other pastors, or anyone else that you know in the church that might come alongside and pray with you. But God knows. And He has provided for you a family here, places to go, people to pray with, people to lean on, people I believe that you can trust. God has provided all this to say, you are not alone. I am with you. I support you. I more than support you. I am in you. So this morning before we go, before I close in prayer today, I want to share this this song from Chris Tomlin. I believe it speaks to what we're addressing today. And the name of it is, Whom Shall I Fear? Then I'll come back.
Fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You cry. crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield, though troubles linger still. Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me.
Let's stand together as I close in prayer. This is what the Lord God says. Know in all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, we thank you for this promise and this truth. May we build upon it and stand upon it forever. In Christ's name we pray, and all the people of God said,
Amen.
Amen. You are